Was it I stand in awe or okay? Okay. You might tell them what mic you're on. They can unmute you.
I'm on that. There we go. Hey. Excellent. So how is everybody doing? Great. Excellent. I'm glad to see that, number one, you guys survived last week's sermon. Number two, you actually came back. So, you know, the small miracles of God. Speaking of which, I gotta tell you guys what happened. So yeah, it's gonna be one of those stories. Fortunately we got 30 minutes. No. So my folks came, and my folks are well aged. So they're in their upper 80s. And I gave them directions how to get here. Dad forgot it at the house. So they were driving around trying to find the church. And so they just happened. And again, whenever you say it just happens that, you know, that's God's hand. So it just happens while they were stopped trying to figure out where they were and where they were going. This young lady happened to pull up and say, "Can I help you?" And they said, "Yes, we're trying to find this Alder Street." And she said, "Alder, you mean Alder Lane?" They said, "Yeah. Yeah, there's a church we're supposed to be going there." And she said, "Oh, well, let me take you there." Mm-hmm. So she led him right here. Mm-hmm. So that's God. So mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That's my God is great story for the week. So how about you guys? No? Yes? Come on. Doing great? Go ahead. Two little grandkids. What's happening in the schools? One's in the second and the fourth. Praying for the family. Resume.
We can't get through Zoom.
What's wrong with you, Matt? You love it.
Yeah. That list is long.
Zoom, you people need to come to church. You missed out on
there it, you so. Go. That's your sermon for next year. What's wrong with Matt? Don't do what Matt does. Okay. The son called up and asked if Jill would like to sponsor the little one, Chittum, in Christian school.
Yeah.
And it was an answer to prayer.
Hallelujah.
So God opens doors.
God does.
As Hallelujah. Always.
Hallelujah.
He's always faithful.
Hallelujah.
So, got a few announcements here. Tonight, we're having deliverance training here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock, if you'd like to be a part of that. Pastor Brad's going to be putting it on, so it's going to be great.
Going to be great.
Also, it's time to update our directories. So, if your address or phone number or email have changed, please get that to Jenny. So she can update the directory. And then next Saturday, we're going to have our outreach at 9 o'clock here. We're going to meet here, go out and share Christ with some people. Nice. So again, if you want to be a part of that, it's awesome just to be able to, in this dark world, to speak a bit of light into mm-hmm. people's lives. Mm-hmm. It changes things, you know.
It does.
It does. So today we're going to pray for Cloverdale Baptist Church, Pastor Charles Winesboro, and their leadership team. So if you join me in prayer really quick. So Lord, we just want to thank you for Pastor Charles, Lord, and the people that you've given him there. Mm-hmm. And Lord, the work that they are doing there. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness to that church, mm-hmm. to those people. Lord, we thank you for the word that you give them each and every week. And Lord, we thank you for the work that they do in their community. Lord, we thank you for that everywhere because you are faithful and true, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. You do that here so many times, Lord. You do miracles. You do healings. Mm-hmm. Lord, you feed us. You lead us to green pastures. Mm-hmm. You give us living water to drink. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we just thank you for that.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask you, to please be with Pastor Charles. Please be with Cloverdale, Lord. Please pour your blessings out upon them. Please give them a fresh anointing. And Lord, just please move the Holy Spirit in that place. And Lord, we ask you to please fill this place with your presence here today. Mm-hmm. Lord, open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to you. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us, lead us in worship and prayer to you. Mm-hmm. For to you goes all glory. Mm-hmm. And all honor and all praise. And Lord, we just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand up and, oh, one more thing.
We're trying to put together a new directory for the church, and so we'd like to.
I said that. I did. Yeah. Are you okay? Am I okay? What's wrong with you?
He was in another realm.
Oh, yes.
He was Brandon.
Hey.
That's because God was giving you a great message.
Matt,
so,
Matt.
What?
We got John. Oh, I don't know if they were John. Standing to sing or?
John?
I think they're ready to worship.
Ready to worship, right?
Let's go.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold it, Phil. Sweet. Phil's
well
gonna hoping to have the ceiling done on the driveway. If you haven't noticed, there are some cracks. Mm-hmm. Phil has been working to fill those cracks, to seal them, so that the parking lot won't be damaged.
And we thank you.
And we thank
it.
You,
Phil,
for that.
You're doing great.
So, mm-hmm. All right.
Nice.
So let's worship the Lord.
What to say, Lord, it's you gave me life and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. You've saved me, Lord, I give all that I am to you. Then today I can be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I'll learn to stand up on your word and to pray that I may come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take, that every day I will be a light into your world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my stand upon your word and to pray that I may come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take, that every day I will be a light unto your world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. It's you I live for. I live for every day. It's you 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 I live for every day.
Every day.
Every day. It's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. It's you I live for every day.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's done all its healing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears of broken dreams and wasted years and tell the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. And all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes the way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty, who they care that much about me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. Jesus, change your life.
Woo! You guys sing great. Oh, it's awesome.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do.
Come on.
There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. that hope is never lost. Oh, for there is still an empty grave. God, we believe no matter what, there is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you. God, you have the final say. We know the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you. God, you have the final say. You are the way when there seems to be no way. Yes, you are. Trust in you. God, you have the final say. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe for it. Thank you. weight above them all. His fame outlasts the earth he formed. His praise resounds beyond the stars.
Light of the world.
wonderful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you, and I stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. Wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you, and I stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise. I stand in awe of you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power
you've done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the things you're doing in our lives, for the praise reports.
Yeah.
Lord, the way you're working in our circumstances.
Yes, Lord. Thank
Lord, that you never change in spite of what we're going
come
through.
On, that's right. Yeah.
You never change.
That's
you
right.
are still faithful.
Yes.
You are still in
Jesus.
Control. You are on the throne. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how bad this world looks.
Come on, come on.
You are God, and
yes.
we can trust you.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
We can trust
yes.
you to carry us
mm-hmm. yes.
through the hard times. We can trust you with our health, with our children, with
yes.
our families,
yes.
with this nation.
Yes.
And regardless of what happens,
mm-hmm.
we will worship you.
Yes.
And
yes,
we will praise right. your name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And Father, I just thank you for Pastor.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you
yes,
so much
Lord.
For a shepherd who guides his flock.
Yes, yes.
He doesn't browbeat us.
Come
he
on.
Doesn't drag us around.
Right.
He shepherds us truly
yes,
and loves
yes.
us. And so I praise you and thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I
yes,
thank
Lord.
You for his sermon today that you've given him. I thank you that you're going to help it to reach our hearts and minds
yes.
and help
yes.
us to use it as we go
you,
throughout this week. And I just praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
This morning. Good to see all of you. Lord bless you. Glad, good to be back. Well, we had a good trip. Made it back in last Wednesday, actually. And so, anyway, we had a good time scouting around and running some mountain roads and different things. Regarding the new directory, once we get it printed, it's not put out on the desk where just anybody can come and pick one up. You'll need to talk to Jenny and get that from her, because we don't, you know, some people could just walk in and grab that, and there's some information on there that you might not want them to know, such as your phone number. And so anyway, we are very careful about those kind of things. And so As you fill out your communication card, some of you, we have your information on, others of you don't. If you don't mind putting that on there, we're very careful with the information we receive. And so just be aware of that. Why don't we stand together and hold hands with one another, pray for one another, and ask the Lord just to bless us today as we delve into his word. If you have a special concern, that children are being released, if they want to go up to the children's time, they're welcome to do that. If not, they're more than welcome to stay in here too. Okay? Not a problem. I was taught in seminary that I need to preach on a fourth grade level. And being from Mississippi, that's not hard for me. So, I can do it. So anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just pray for one another, and let's invite the Lord to work in our own hearts as well as those that we're holding hands with. Lord, we do come before you. We thank you, Lord, that you are here amongst us. You're here in our presence. Lord, you're always with us. You're always near. But sometimes it seems like you're more tangible than other times. And Lord, today is one of those times. And so, Lord, we thank you. God, I pray that you'd be with each of the individuals that are here today. God, you know the need of their heart. You know the need of their in their lives. Lord, whatever it may be, you are the one who meets needs. That's what you do. And so, Lord, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whatever it may be, Lord, we just pray that you'd meet the needs of those who are here today and those who are on Zoom, and later those who are going to be listening in. Lord, we give you all praise.
and glory and honor. And Lord, I pray that you would do in each of our hearts what you want to do today. Speak to us. Lord, anything that we have closed in our lives that we need to open to you, I pray, Lord, that we would do that. And we could trust you even with the pain, even with our deepest concerns. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we begin this morning, I want to talk to you. We're going to be talking about abiding. John in 1 John talks about abiding, but we're not going to start there. What I want to do is share with you some individuals who had that down. They knew what it meant to abide, and they put that into practice in their lives. And perhaps through these stories or through these accounts of these individuals' lives, you're going to understand what it means to abide. The first person I want to talk about is Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 1, it talks about Daniel and his, well, there was a deportation from Jerusalem. Babylonians had come in. A king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had come in. They had besieged the city of Jerusalem, and they conquered that area, and they took, according to the records I saw, about 20,000 people out of Jerusalem and deported them to Babylon. Along with that deportation were people that you probably are aware of. One was named Daniel. Another was named Hananiah, Mishael, and somebody else. Well, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, but that was their names that were given in Babylon. That were not their Jewish names. And so they were deported to Babylon, which is modern-day Iran. And so can you imagine being deported from the United States to Iran? But that's the scenario. That's the scenario. And while they were there in Babylon, and the king had told Ashpenaz, who was the master of the eunuchs, he said, I want you to pick out a group of young men who are brilliant, who have great knowledge, who are able to learn quickly, and we're going to bring them into under your leadership, and for 3 years you're going to teach them the culture, the literature, everything about Babylon they need to know, because they're those who excel are going to be working under me. They're going to be in my palace. They're going to be working as king. So here are these teenage boys. I don't know how many were in this group of individuals, but we find out that there was at least four teenage boys who decided that they're going to follow the Lord rather than follow the edicts of the king or anyone else. And it was not a prideful thing. They just decided, you know what, I want to please the Lord more than I want to please them. Let's go there. Let's be some of those individuals who are deported from the United States to Iran. I don't want to be crass, but one of the things that took place for these young men was do you know what a eunuch is? These young men were castrated. Their manhood was taken. They served under the king. They didn't get to do just anything they wanted to do. They were obliged to do what the king told them to do. They were taken from their homeland. They were taken from their families. They were taken from everything that was familiar to them. They were taken from their culture. They were taken from a land who was to have been a people who served the Lord and worshiped him. The reason they were deported to Babylon was because they had failed to serve the Lord. they had failed to live up to the commandments that God had given them. They began worshiping other gods, and God said, okay, well, because of that, I'm going to put you in a land where other gods are worshiped. It was not a pleasant time. So how would you feel as a teenage boy? How would you feel now if you were taken out of your homeland, taken out of the United States, taken out of Oregon, put in a dry, arid place like Iran, unfamiliar, new culture, castrated, demeaned? How would you feel? What would you do? How would you express those feelings? Some people would get angry. We find that Daniel and his friends, scripture says that the king said, I want you to feed them all the king's rich food, all of the delicacies of the king. Give them the wine that I drink. And you know that's got to be from pretty good wine if the king's drinking it, right? And so when they brought that to these four young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they appealed to Ashpenaz and they said, asked him, could we just eat what we're used to and not eat all of the king's delicacies? Because they did not want to dishonor the Lord in any way. Now, I'm sure there was, if we had been there and they brought in some bacon, and they brought in some ham, and they brought in some catfish, and they brought in some crawfish, it would be like, whoa, I've never had that before. It smells good. But not all of the Jewish boys did what Daniel and his three friends did. As a matter of fact, I wonder if some of them really got angry at God. God, you've treated me like this. I'm going to just eat what I want to. I wonder. Scripture doesn't talk about any of those individuals. Because he wanted to center on, God wanted to center on the attitude and the actions of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they refused the king's food and asked Ashpenaz, will you just feed us vegetables, bread, and water? And Ashpenaz said, well, you know, I'm responsible for you. I'm supposed to make you healthy and for you to be able to think clearly and that kind of thing, because there's a lot on me that you're supposed to do. And Daniel says to him, why don't you just test us for 10 days and see what happens? So they tested Daniel and his friends for 10 days. And after 10 days, Ashpenaz kind of lined them up and noticed that Daniel and his friends were a whole lot healthier than the other guys. And also their wit and their wisdom and their ability to concentrate and to connect quickly with the things that they were being taught was excelled everyone else. And so Ashpenaz said, well, we'll just keep feeding you what you've asked for. And so they kept feeding them. Throughout all this time, somehow, some way, Daniel and his three friends were able to abide in the Lord, even when all of this was going down. Somehow, they never lost their peace. Somehow, they never lost that. They never allowed the fear, the intimidation, anger, irritation, frustration to settle in their heart. I'm sure it came, but they refused it. They resisted it and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust the Lord. I don't like what's going on, but I'm going to trust the Lord in it. If I could change it, I would, But regardless, I'm going to trust the Lord with my life. Somehow they had learned to abide even when. Later on, we find out in chapter 3 of Daniel that there was a situation where the king had made this statue 90 feet tall. And the edict went out, said if it, whenever the band plays, then everyone is to fall down and worship this statue. And so, man, that had gone through the kingdom. Everyone knew about it. And the band started playing. And thousands of people fell on their face to worship this statue. And there were three guys standing around looking. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they were, it was, so some of their compatriots tattled on them, went to the king and said, King, you had said that there's this edict that everybody's to fall down and worship this statue. Well, guess what? When the band started playing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not fall down and worship. And the king got upset. He got mad. He said, bring them before us, me. And so they brought him before him. And as they brought them before him, he said, I told you, I'm going to give you one more chance. When the band plays, you're going to fall down and you're going to worship this statue. If you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. What would you do? How would you feel? Probably frightened. Would you bow? Would you kneel? Would you budge? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not. As a matter of fact, they told the king this. Chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, I want you to know, king, we're not going to serve your gods. And we're not going to worship the gold image which you've set up. So here's the deal. I think this is one of the greatest testimonies of faith in Scripture. They didn't know if God was going to deliver them or not. They didn't know if God was going to come through, but they did know this, whether they burned to death or whether they lived, they're going to put their trust in the Lord and let the Lord have his way in their lives. That's amazing to me. He told their king, stood before the king. The king had rule. The king's word was like an anchor. It settled. And yet, they were not afraid. Somewhere along the line, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned how to abide. They learned how to abide. In Daniel chapter 6, you remember the story of Daniel and the lion's den? You remember that story? Well, Daniel was, he was a godly man. And his habit was praying three times a day. Now, there's a clue here about how you abide. His habit was to pray three times a day. And the other governors around him, he was one of the governors. One of the other governors were kind of jealous of him because he got so much prominence. And the king really liked him. It's kind of his favorite. And the other governors didn't like that. And so they came up with a plan. And the plan was this. They went to the king and said, for the next 30 days, for the next month, let's do this. Let's make an edict that anyone who prays to any other god except you, they're going to be thrown in the lion's den. And the king thought, ooh, man, that's pretty great. Man, these guys think a lot of me. I'm all that and more. So why not? So the edict went out. And as soon as Daniel heard about it, you know what he did? He went up to his rooftop, kneeled down, and he started praying. This infuriated the governors. They thought, let's go tell King. So they went to tell the king, and this is Darius at this time. They went to tell King Darius about Daniel praying to somebody else other than him. Now, Darius liked Daniel. Again, he was his favorite. And he tried to do everything he could to reverse what he had already spoken. But there was no way to reverse it, because whatever edict was written down from the Medes and Persians was an anchor. It could not be changed. And he's like, man, I don't know how to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Daniel is serving his God, and I messed up. Have you ever messed up? Have you ever messed up to the point you affected someone else's life? Well, this is what happened with Darius. He messed up, and he knew he messed up, and it affected Daniel's life. And he was so sick at heart that he didn't sleep all night long. They threw Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't sleep all night long. He wouldn't even let they had minstrels and things to come in normally and kind of play their instruments so he could go to sleep. He didn't even let them come in. And so Daniel in the lion's den, and so at dawn the next morning, the king runs down to the lion's cage, and he said, Daniel, 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 does the God who you worship and serve, was he able to save you? And Daniel said, I'm here. Don't worry. Don't worry. Daniel somehow learned to abide, even when the circumstances went against him. Even when the king's edict went against him. Even when the government went against him, somehow he was able to abide. And the reason he was able to do that, because he had learned throughout his life that he could trust the Lord, that he could trust his promises. Wouldn't it be great to be a Daniel? Wouldn't it be great to be able to trust the Lord even when circumstances are not what you would like for them to be? Wouldn't that be great? See, Daniel and his friends had had, before all of this, they had had plans. They had had goals in their life. They had had aspirations. As a matter of fact, it's probably, and this is probably 99.9% probability, they had already had their wives chosen. And they're probably, as a teenager, was thinking about, well, one day I'm going to get married. One day I'm going to have a home. One day I'm going to have the American dream. But all that went up in smoke. Has your dreams ever been dashed? Have your aspirations ever been crushed? How did you deal with it? Daniel trusted the Lord with his plans. You know, there's a passage in Proverbs that says, man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. And so Daniel knew that he could trust the Lord even when his plans failed. Even when the life that he had projected, he understood would never come to culmination. He would never get married. He would never have children. And yet, he learned to abide. You remember this Job, I'm sure. Job, I'm going to read verses 13 through 21. Verse chapter 1. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, let me back up. I'm going to just start with verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job. He was blameless. He shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys in a very large household. So this man was the greatest of all the people. So we'll just say he's a multimillionaire. Okay? Multimillionaire. His sons would go to the houses and feast every day. And one day it would be one son's time to have the feast, and all the family would gather. The next day, all the family would gather. Third day, every 7 days, all the family would gather in different homes, and they would just have a great time together. And Job would get up in the mornings, and he would say, man, I don't know if my children have sinned or not, but I'm going to pray for them. Just in case they've sinned, I'm going to offer sacrifices to the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive them. If they've sinned, I don't know if they've sinned or not, but I'm going to just ask them. And so he kept petitioning the Lord. In one day, disaster struck. In one day, his 10 children were in the home, 7 sons, 3 daughters, was in the home of one of the sons, and a great wind came and blew the house down and killed all the children. Same day. And so a servant came and told Job about it. The children are dead. Same day, the Sabians came in and took all his flock. A servant. And all the servants were killed except the one. And he ran to Job and said, your income, you're bankrupt. You don't have any more income. You don't have any more resources. It's all gone. How would you feel? Verse 20, Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, he fell to the ground and worshiped. He just lost everything except his wife and his home. And he fell down and he worshiped. Job was able to abide even when. Did you know that that Christianity is not easy? Did you know that following Christ is not easy? Did you know that? Did you know that abiding is not easy? Did you know that? Job lost everything. And when he did, rather than ranting, raving, and blaming God, he fell down and worshiped. He knew how to abide. He knew how to abide. In Job 1:22, and all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. His wife told him in chapter 2, curse God and die. Yeah, but this is what he said. You're talking like a fool. Should we not accept good from the Lord and also evil? Shouldn't we trust him even when bad things come? That's what he told her. Abiding in the Lord is not something you do by just flipping a switch. Abiding in the Lord is not something you're born with. Abiding in the Lord, it starts with a desire to please the Lord in all that you do. That's where it starts. with a desire to please the Lord in all that you do. In this, it develops into a trust that is only achieved through spending time with Him in prayer, in His Word. Daniel had the habit of praying 3 times a day. That was his habit. I don't think he would have been able to abide. There's no way he would have been able to abide if he had not developed that relationship with the Lord. And if he was not consistent in his prayer life, there's no way he could do that. It would be an impossibility. There's no way. There's no way Job could have continued to abide if he did not already have that a pattern in his life where he was seeking the Lord, where he was asking, not only, and I know this, not only forgiveness for his children, but forgiveness for himself, checking his heart, knowing that he's right with the Lord in all that he does. I know that. Scripture says that he served the Lord. He eschewed evil, means he shunned evil. Anytime he was tempted, he went away from it. First John 2, 24 through 28. I want you to count how many times John says to abide in these 5 verses. Therefore, let us abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, let's start over. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. How many did you count? 6. That's what I counted. 6 times in 5 verses, John says, abide, 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 abide. What do you think he wants us to do? He's trying to get a point across. Now, John knew how to abide. Jesus knew how to abide. Even when the circumstance, did Jesus have an easy life? No. But he knew how to abide even when the circumstances were dire. John knew how to abide when he went to the Isle of Patmos. He says, the Isle of Patmos was like a prison camp. And he says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Like, no big deal. I mean, you're in the prison camp and it's not real nice, but he was somehow able to stay in the Spirit in this prison camp. He learned to abide. And so he's not telling us something to do that he hasn't done himself. The English word used in the King James Version for abide is abide 61 times. You pronounce it in the Greek, meno. Abide 61 times, remain 16 times, dwell 15 times, continue 11 times, tarry 9 times, and endure 3 times. So when you're talking about abiding, you're talking about living there. You're talking about dwelling there. You're talking about not being moved out of that relationship with the Lord, not being moved by circumstances, not being moved by the things that are going on around you. There's a song. Just like a tree planted by the water, Lord, I shall not be moved. You remember that song? Sing it with me. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, Lord, I shall not be moved. You know, there's so much truth in these little children's songs. There is so much truth. And if we could just get those in our heart, if we could remember them, Lord, remind me of that song anytime the enemy tries to move me. Anytime I allow my circumstance, anytime I allow my physical ailments, anytime I allow my financial ailments, anytime I allow anything, my relationships, to start moving me out of the place where I need to be, remind me, I shall not be moved. You know, it's easy to lose your focus, isn't it? It's easy to get distracted. But Daniel chose, I'm not going to get distracted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'm not going to get distracted. Job said, I'm not going to get distracted. Jesus said, I'm not going to get distracted. John said, I'm not going to get distracted. I'm going to abide. I don't care what happens. I'm going to abide. I'm going to abide. Do you know that there's tremendous blessings that come to those who choose to abide? We don't have time to get into John chapter 15, but that whole chapter of John chapter 15 talks about abiding in the vine. And one of the, and I'll encourage you to go read it, because one of the blessings that comes is, how would you like for your prayers to be answered? One of the blessings that comes to those who abide is that your prayers are going to be answered. Ooh, praise the Lord. Another thing that happens when you choose to abide is that your relationship with the Lord gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Another thing that happens when you abide is that you bear much fruit. Did you know it's not all about us? Did you know it's not all about me? Did you know it's not all about getting all the blessings God has for me? Did you know that? What it's about is bearing fruit, bringing other people into the kingdom, sharing Christ with others, allowing that fruit to raise. Scripture says in John chapter 15, and that fruit will remain. Come on. That fruit will, I want fruit to remain. I don't want it to drop off the limb too quickly. I want it to get ripe. I want it to get bountiful. I want it to get good. I'm going to tell on Donita. She's not here, so I'm going to tell on her. She gave us some apples. They're the greenest, sourest apples. Then she gave us some good ones too. But we want fruit to remain. Because fruit that remains, did you know what happens? If fruit remains and goes to its full maturity, then it's going to bear more fruit. When the seeds drop on the ground, it's going to bear more fruit. It's not going to be bitter. It's not going to be sour. It's going to be good, good, good fruit. It's not normal to abide. It takes practice. It's our normal to fear, to be irritated, to be angry, to allow our enemies and the emotions to control us, to look at our circumstances and our problems rather than to look to the Lord. That's our normal. It's our normal to get upset when somebody pulls in front of us on the street. It's our normal to get upset at a person going 45 miles an hour across Highway 6. That's our normal, right? That's our normal. But we can't be normal. We've got to be abnormal. We have to trust the Lord even when, and allow the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's my goal. I pray it's your goal too. But did you know, and I'm closing with this, no, I'm not. One more passage. This is in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. Listen. Oh, this is great. You might need to underline this. For our light affliction, say light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, say temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Man, isn't that a beautiful passage? What a powerful focus that Paul is giving us here. Listen, you've been afflicted for 50 years. It's a light affliction. It's a moment. It's going to pass if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It will pass. But don't get discouraged. Don't lose hope. We're living in a day and an age where a lot of people think that when they lose hope, when they get discouraged, that then we need to take they need to take their lives. They need to end it all. But did you know that doesn't end it? Did you know that there's still torment after this life is over if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Did you know that? You can't end the torment by taking your life. You can't end the torment by killing this physical body. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. We think this life, once this life is over, it's done. That's not the case. That's not the case. Now I'm closing. Maybe. Horatio Spafford, you may be familiar with the title of a song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Well, Horatio Spafford was in Chicago in the spring of 71. He had purchased. He was a realtor, real estate. He made some investments in real estate. And then the Chicago fire broke out, destroyed everything. He lost all of his investments. He was a friend of the Dwight L. Moody, the evangelist, and they had planned to go to England to do a crusade there. He was going to visit with, be there with Dwight L. Moody. So he sent his family over first, his mother, his wife, and four daughters, and they were on a ship, and he was going to come later. The ship, there was an accident. Another ship ran into them, and the ship sank. All four daughters were killed. When the wife got to England, she sent a telegraph, said, "All is lost, save one," talking about herself. Some weeks later, Horatio Spafford was taking a ship to England. And when they got to a certain place in the ocean, the captain said, "Mr. Spafford, this is approximately where this other ship went down and where you lost your four daughters." He went to his room, and he penned these words: "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." He had learned the secret of abiding, even when circumstances weren't what he wanted. Christian life isn't easy. Christian life isn't for wimps. All of us go through difficult seasons. But we can go it alone if we want to. Or we can stay plugged into the life-giving source that makes these seasons not just bearable, but a catalyst for growth. That will bring a blessing to us, and will also bring glory to the Lord. Paul calls it a light affliction. Sometimes it doesn't feel light. Sometimes it feels heavy. I want you to take these two thoughts home with you. It's possible for you to abide. It's possible. But in order for you to do that, you have to spend time with the Lord. You have to get to know Him. You have to learn to trust Him. And when you do that, when you can trust Him, when you can truly trust Him, you can be at peace, even when. I was reading a devotion this week. I don't think I put it in my notes, but the devotional said, and it was, ministry, Wild at Heart Ministries. And the couple said this: anxiety is rooted in the lie. This is not exact quote, but anxiety is rooted in the lie that you were unloved. And I think, man, that's interesting. I've never thought of it that way. But if we know that we're loved, we know that God loves us, we know that He has our best interests at heart, that whatever we go through, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. The second thought is this: if Jesus doesn't abide in you, you can't abide in Him. John says, the Holy Spirit abides in us, Jesus abides in us, and then therefore we should abide in Him. Okay? Let's not stop with, okay, the Holy Spirit abides in me, Jesus abides in me. Let's take the steps necessary to abide in Him. Okay? Let it be a two-way street, not just a one-way street. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus does not abide in you. And you will never be able to abide in Him. So if you're here today without Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Him. If you're here today and there are circumstances out of your control that you can't do anything about, and yet you're anxious and upset, Jesus says, I want to give you rest. I want to give you peace. I want to give you assurance that I'm in control. Whether you are in control or not, He wants to be in control. We're going to have a time of invitation. And if there are some things on your heart that you need to pray about, that you need me to pray with you about, or Matt, then Matt will be at the back. And let's go to the Lord and receive the peace that comes by abiding in Him. Let's stand together as we sing. Light of His glory and grace.
Turn your eyes to the hillside where justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave his life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Turn your eyes to the morning and see Christ the Lion awake. What a glorious dawn, fear of death is gone, for we carry his life in our veins. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Turn your eyes to the heavens. Our King will return for his own. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout, all glory to Jesus alone. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Amen. Appreciate you being here today. And just want to mention tonight at 6 o'clock, the Deliverance Ministry Training. We'll be addressing some deliverance. You probably will run into people who need some help in those areas, spiritual areas. But I'm only allowing those who are wanting to mature in their faith and those who are mature already to address at be. A part of this. And so I invite you to come if you want to come. So let's be dismissed in prayer. And then, Rick, would you dismiss us? And then we'll have Wendy to bless us out.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day, fall day, harvest moon. Everything you give us is such glory. Lord, we thank you for this message. May it affect our lives. So easy to forget one thing and next week we do it again. But Lord, would we sacrifice our life for you? Mm-hmm. Let us think, and certainly we all want to be there. Mm-hmm. Lord, I just pray for each and every soul here that mm-hmm. we lean toward you.
Yes.
And live with you eternally in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless thee.
Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up.
The Lord lift up.
His countenance.
His countenance.
On thee and give thee peace. God bless you all. Enjoy the sun.